there's good things. For the eVTOL sector, we're seeing a little bit of a culling of the herd, maybe. So for those remaining, maybe they have a little better shot with less competition out there.
Welcome to Hangar X Studios, where former fighter pilot and host John Ramstad takes us on a journey across aerospace as it enters an historic period of innovation and transformation. Our guests include aviation experts, pilots, financiers, military leaders, and innovators of all types. Buckle up for another episode of Hangar X.
All right, welcome to the Hangar X podcast. We're here live at Verticon with Brian Foley. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, John, nice to be here.
So this is a place where disruptors and innovators and investors all come together to learn the information that we need before the rest of the world needs to know. And that's why we have you on today, because you're a business analyst, financial analyst. You've been on both sides of the transaction in aviation, do deep research. You're a contributing author to Forbes. And what are some other elements there, though? There's a lot in your background.
I don't know. I think that just about covers it. No, I've been fortunate. I've been in aviation all my life, either in the corporate world or off on my own, and I've had the opportunity to stick my nose in a lot of different aspects of it, from rotorcraft here. I worked at Falcon Jet for many years. I worked at Boeing for many years. So kind of have a nice exposure to all of that.
Yeah. And you do deep research not only on what's in the industry, but also on the deals, the investor side of things. You've brokered some deals. Like you really have a nice figure. And what I like about your writing, it's Brian Foley. If you guys want to search Brian Foley, because I like how you write with a really good point of view. It's very factual. Sometimes it can be counter-cultural because you stick to the facts versus trying to have a spin. Is that fair?
Thank you. And it does come back at me sometimes.
I'm sure it does. But you know what? That's the kind of information I like. And I'd like to maybe start here. What is, right now aerospace is growing. There's a lot of talk from private jets to the announcements that are here at Verticon and helicopters and eVTOLs. But what is, the investor class, from family offices to institutional capital, what does that landscape look like right now, in your opinion?
Well, let's start at the top with the eVTOL investors. That there was kind of a rush to that a number of years ago.
The big SPAC craze, and it created just a ton of capital that came in and founded a lot of startups.
Yep, and you've got it. And the reason was because investors had huge sums of money that they weren't going to put in a passbook savings account at 0.25%. They wanted to invest it out there in hopes of a better return. And what better way than aviation, because they could park a lot of money there instead of having to invest in many different places. Fast forward to today, you can see there's been some changes in the landscape of those who have kind of come and gone. And investors, I think, didn't really do their complete due diligence and maybe didn't know that aviation is a little different animal. And with certification, it can be not a 3 to 5 year flip like a lot of them are used to, but it can be a multi-decade endeavor depending on the complexity.
Well, in aviation too, you can't sell a beta product. You can't sell the minimum viable product. It actually has to be the alpha, the FAA certified project. So that's very different than a lot of other investment landscapes also, that certification hurdle.
That's right. So if you're going to put bodies on it, you have to, the bar is pretty high to be able to do that. But down from, those big investors, I'd like to encourage some of the folks listening, maybe starting at the bottom. If you need some money for your company or you have an idea for a company, you go out and you start with your friends and family. From there, there's a class of angel investor, it's called, and seed capital, and you begin working your way up into private equity and, VC. So there's many different avenues, and it really depends on the stage of your company, which one you'd approach for funding.
Yeah, and I think just in the eVTOL space, there's 200 entrants that are tracked through SMG on his reality index. There's about 30 that he believes are viable. So we had Sergio on the podcast. If I don't have a flying prototype, so this is that kind of investor, what's the appetite for those investors that are more, or not appetite, the venture investors, the seed investors, what are they looking for right now, you think, in a company where they're going to put the capital at this kind of this risk profile?
Yeah, they're not looking for a sketch on the back of a napkin, for sure. They'll be looking at the management. They'll be doing their own marketing studies to see what the market potential is and come to their own conclusions. So it's a little more sophisticated investor, I think, that comes into that.
I think you're right. Now, you've also done a lot of research on eVTOLs. It's been a big topic. There's been some big successes and some big failures recently. What do you see? What is your outlook for the eVTOL space? I mean, we're sitting right here next to Joby. We're looking at their prototype over here.
Exactly. And I think I have to start by saying aviation is peculiar. We seem to eat our young. Whenever there's a new concept or idea, it gets poo-pooed pretty quickly. I think the same thing happened with eVTOLs, and maybe it was a little oversold to begin with. But going forward, I feel that there will be a need. It'll be a niche need. And we'll see initially them performing in cargo operations, maybe autonomously.
Like the Elroy Air.
Exactly. Yep. That sort of thing. That's where it would start. The military would be a good start, too, because they write their own rules. They don't have to worry about FAA certification. So we could see some adoption there. And from there, it'll spread. I mean, there's some good things to say about eVTOLs with the, electric ones, if you want to start there with, the long-term cost to maintain them is a lot lower than traditional. But that said, there seems to be a shift in thinking nowadays as far as electrification of vehicles. It's with the new administration, pulling out of the Paris Agreement, on climate change. I don't think there'll be as big of a push to move in that direction in the future. And for that reason, maybe hybrid and even traditional turbine engines still have a life ahead of them.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the enabling, dynamics for eVTOL is going to be the infrastructure, vertiports, in urban areas. And, we had Rex Alexander on to talk about that. And I didn't realize the weight and the cost, and he also had an opinion that nobody's ever going to allow you to put a vertiport on top of a building, because think about the Tesla fire recently took 6 hours to put that out. So who wants to charge a battery pack on the top of a building? I don't know. So some of those made sense, but I'd love to, maybe your thoughts on some of these enabling things that are going to allow eVTOLs to actually be practical.
Yeah, there's so many challenges like that, not only infrastructure, but the airspace infrastructure and how to handle that. There's been some articles written recently on the downwash speeds produced by some of these, which might be, pretty speedy and dangerous in some regulator's mind. There's always going to be one more challenge or obstacle, flight in icing, for example. What do you do then? So the challenges are great. But again, if we take baby steps, again, maybe with moving some boxes first and then in the military, finding an application there where it's not so stringent from the regulatory front, we'll learn from that and have a good way to roll it out to the civil side as well.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about this, too, because there's almost this continuum. We have like unmanned, drones, and we have eVTOLs. Everybody knows kind of the helicopters operational requirements. And then we have this big leap over to commercial aviation, turboprops and jets. And in the middle, I think there's an area that's developing that we call extended VTOL or XVTOL, which is, let's say, VTOLs that can take off from a heliport, but they have more of a 200 to 1,000 mile range. And there's about two or three, entrants into that space that are all developing aircraft. What potential do you think that has to transform the landscape?
I think that the eVTOL industry will be very niche-y, and you don't want to try to be everything to everyone. And there'll be those providers that find their niche and they'll exceed at it, and they'll find a little market share by doing that.
And how about that extended VTOL? It doesn't necessarily need a vertiport. It can land on a runway or in a field. Where do you think that helps maybe change the narrative?
I think we have a little analogy to that with the beta folks, and granted they're not a vertical takeoff, but they're, again, back to my baby steps, doing a conventional takeoff aircraft first and have a second program to follow that is an eVTOL. So I think That's one of those programs that are high on the list that could succeed. And if that's the case, it goes to your point that there is a need for longer range than some of these short hop inner city eVTOLs.
Yeah, I think Beta's approach is fascinating. And if you know anybody at Beta, we'd love to have them on the podcast. So another question, because you brought up Paris Climate Accord. So not to get political, but I would like to know from your opinion, because I know you study these things, there's policies, though, that are coming out of this administration, right? Good, bad, or otherwise, we can debate that. But what do you think the practical impacts of some of these policies and positions are with this administration, and how they're going to affect aerospace, ownership, aircraft development?
Yeah, I'll address it from the private aviation standpoint, and it spills over into rotorcraft as well. But in no particular order, we were talking about earlier, there's a chance that the 100% bonus depreciation will come back, yeah. which really juiced the market a few years ago when it came into being. It's since been reduced, and so you don't have quite the tax benefit. We'll have a commander-in-chief that hopefully won't use the State of the Union address to attack private aviation and basically say that, it's the end of private aviation, private jet tax breaks, in front of millions. You know, the industry was singled out. The current administration knows business aviation. They've been using it, helicopters and fixed wings for years, and they understand the benefits of it. In addition, on the climate aspect, hopefully owners won't be at risk of shareholders and climate activists for flying a business jet or helicopter as much as they were in the past, because maybe the temperatures come down with the U.S. Leaving the Paris Accord. There's other things that could be a bonus from this. We see the IRS being pulled back a little bit. For those that weren't familiar, the IRS were sent to go to business jet operators to do complete audits on them after the State of the Union address. So hopefully that'll calm down a little bit and maybe go away, because by and far...
I wasn't aware of that. So FBOs and operators were targeted out specifically?
Actually, owners of business aircraft. They had to come and break out the books and justify to the IRS. So hopefully that'll slow down a little bit. So there's some benefits that could happen from the current changing of the guard.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I love your point of view on all these different things. So as we wrap up, just any final thoughts, anything that's bubbling up, if we kind of look at the year ahead, what's maybe something that as a researcher, journalist, investor that has you maybe most excited?
Yeah, so most folks can never be busy enough. But, if we look back, the helicopter industry, from here at Verticon has been fairly steady the last number of years. Granted, it's not back to the pre-2008 financial crisis when it was really going gung-ho, but it's steady and stable now, at least. Same on the business aviation side. There's business jets deliveries that, are back to where they were before things slowed down during COVID. So there's good things. For the eVTOL sector, we're seeing a little bit of a culling of the herd, maybe. So for those remaining, maybe they have a little better shot with less competition out there.
Yeah. All right, well, I'd love to stay in touch. I'd love to, you have some updates, or if you have any research insights, or, things maybe shift in the investment world, please reach out. Love to have you on the podcast anytime, Brian. I always love reading your stuff, and it's been great to have a conversation with you.
Okay, me too.
All right, keep knocking them alive, brother.
All right, good show.
Okay, thanks.
All right.